And as we do here at Faith, would you please stand for the gospel reading? Our scripture lesson for today is found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. You can follow along in your bulletin, or I believe it's on page 193 in the Pew Bible. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
All right, Elaine, start your watch. I want to start this morning with some word association. You know, there are some words that just quite naturally go together. Here are some examples. I'll just give you a word, and you give me the word that goes with it, and I'm sure that you will get it. Salt and pepper, of course. Peanut butter and Batman and Robin. Hide and there were some different ones on that one. How about Adam and There you go. You get the idea. There are words that just naturally flow one to another, ideas that flow one to another. What word or what idea or what image comes to your mind when you hear the word church? That might be a little bit more difficult one. That one might not come quite so naturally. There actually could be a lot of different words or associations or ideas that come to mind when you hear the word church. You might picture this building that we're in right now. You might be reminded of a Sunday school class that you went to as a child. Maybe the word church calls to mind those close friends that you have in your life that stand by you in life, that support you in your faith. That would be a nice association with the word church. What about people outside of the church? Those who don't come to worship on Sunday, those who don't associate themselves with the activities of a church body, what do you suppose comes to their minds when they hear the word church? Well, their associations might be a bit more mixed. Some of their thoughts and their feelings perhaps would maybe be a little more negative than our own. If that's the case, what do you suppose it would take to change that? Jesus said to his disciples, they will know you by your good. I'm glad you knew that. They will know you by your love. He didn't say they will know you by your unwavering faith, although that's a good thing. He didn't say they will know you by the clarity of your doctrine. He didn't say they will know you by your political affiliation. Jesus said they will know you by your love. Wouldn't it be something if when people heard the word church, their first association is the word love? Wouldn't it be something if when someone new came to town and they asked someone, hey, what can you tell me about Faith Community United Methodist Church? The first response they heard was, oh, those people are full of love. Wouldn't that be something? What would it take to make that happen? Well, I'm glad you asked, because that's what we're going to talk about this morning. This is week two in our Back to Church series. We're looking at this theme of together. What happens when we come together as the church. You recall from Pastor John's message last week, and hopefully you know this from Sunday school lessons as a child and songs that you learned as a kid, that the church is not a building. We like to call this structure that we're in a church, but that's not what the Bible calls a church. Church, according to the Bible, is a gathering of God's people. The word literally means assembly. The church is God's people assembled together. It's that together part that we're focusing on this month. Well, sure, you can be a Christian even when you're all alone, but to be the church, we need one another. To be the church, we need to come together on a regular basis and for a common purpose. So we're looking at what happens when we come together as the church. The Apostle Paul had a lot to say about that in many of his letters. This month we're focusing on his letter to the Ephesians and what we can learn from his lessons there about what it means to be the church together. Ephesus was a major city in the region that we now call Turkey. It was a diverse, multicultural area surrounded by all kinds of different religions, competing philosophies. The people there faced many of the same challenges that we face today. And the church there was trying to figure out how to live out their faith in Jesus within this confusing and this quickly changing world that they lived in. In light of those challenges, Paul emphasizes over and over again in this letter to them the importance of unity, the importance of togetherness, the importance of coming together as one body in Christ, embracing together the gospel story of Jesus, the story of God's redemptive work, bringing us back to himself, breaking down all the barriers between us and God, breaking down the barriers between us and one another. Unity. That wasn't an easy thing for them to understand. Division, that's easy to understand. Division comes naturally. But unity is not natural. In fact, unity in Christ is supernatural. It comes from God. And so as the Ephesians tried to embrace this reality of oneness in Christ, they read and discussed Paul's words together. They studied and wrestled with his teachings together. That's the key. They did it together as a community. Like the early Christians in Ephesus, we too have to commit to making this journey together. As we study and explore the letters of Paul and all the other writings of the Bible, we do this because we want to be the church that he calls us to be. We want to better understand and renew our commitment to be a gathering of believers that is truly a community of peace and grace and impact. We want to have that unity with one another that he talks about in the scriptures. We want to be known by that love that Jesus said would identify us as his people. We are on this journey together. We encourage and support one another, walking together to discover the greater purpose and calling that God has in our lives, both as individuals and as a collective church body. Church, by its very nature, is that coming together of believers to live and learn and worship and grow and make an impact on the world together. In the part of Ephesians that we're looking at today, Paul talks about being filled with the love of Christ. That really is the key. The love of Christ is the key to being known as a people of love. We have to experience that. We have to embrace and live out that love that comes only from Jesus Christ. Earlier in the letter, Paul kind of laid out the foundation for this by presenting the gospel message of salvation in Christ alone. And we can't skip over that part because that is where our foundation comes from. We don't love one another just because love is a nice idea or a good thing to do, even though it is. We don't love one another just because it's the right thing. We don't love one another even because Jesus commanded us to. He did command us to, but that's not the foundation. At the heart of it all, what it all comes down to is that we love because Christ first loved us. In another of his letters, Paul wrote, "This is proof of God's love, that Christ laid down his life while we were yet sinners." The Apostle John, in one of his letters, wrote, "This is how we know love, that Christ gave himself up for us." Earlier in Ephesians, Paul writes, "You were dead through your trespasses and sins, but God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Out of the great love with which he loved us, he wrote. That is the gospel message. In our own actions, by our own power, we were dead in our sins. But God, because of his great love for us, chose to give us life in Christ. He proved his love through the gift of his Son. He revealed his love on the cross. And because of that love, because of that grace, we are given the gift of new life, eternal life. That is the first and most foundational step to becoming a people known for love, to receive that love that was shown to us on the cross, to receive it, to believe it, to glory in it, to live our lives for it, to allow that sacrificial love of God in Jesus Christ to be the definition of our lives, the plumb line by which we measure every thought, word, and deed. Paul talks about how this redemptive work of God in Christ breaks down barriers between us and God, bringing us back into God's presence, making us God's people. He talks about how this redemptive work of God in Jesus Christ breaks down barriers between various groups of people. Jews and Gentiles are no longer kept separate from one another, are brought together in Christ. And then in our scripture text for today, he brings it all back to God's amazing love and the life-giving work that flows from it, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses all understanding. Wow. What an amazing love is that. What great imagery Paul uses to convey God's vast, unending love. We started out this morning with some word association, so let's do a little bit more of it. I'm going to ask you to fill in the blank. Wider than, I heard the ocean, I heard something else, maybe the universe. Whatever the widest thing is that you can imagine, God's love is even wider than that. Longer than. Longer than history, longer than time, longer than the line at the DMV. God's love is longer than everything, all of eternity. Higher than the sky, higher than the highest mountain, higher than the stars. Deeper than the ocean, deeper than the deepest sea. You know, no matter how you fill in those blanks, no matter what you come up with, God's love is always wider, longer, higher, deeper. God's love is eternally vast, eternally powerful. So vast, so powerful, that Paul says it surpasses all understanding. In today's language, we would say it blows your mind. And even though we can't fully understand it, even though we can't wrap our minds around it, we can experience it. We can experience and embrace the love of God. We can receive and respond to the love of God. We can live our lives inspired and empowered by God's love. That's what Paul wanted the Ephesians to know. And it's what God wants us to know too. The foundation is the salvation that we receive because of God's love. But God doesn't want to leave it at that. God wants to build on that foundation so that the love that we've received in Christ takes root in us and blossoms in us and becomes the animating force of our lives, becomes the defining characteristic of who we are. God doesn't just save us for ourselves. God saves us for the benefit of the world to become a people of love. And that is something that we cannot do on our own. Because you see, love is relational. Love doesn't grow in a vacuum. Love doesn't blossom in a desert. Love is something that has to be shared. Love is something that has to be experienced together, lived out in community. God created us for love. God created us for community. And it is together in community, and particularly together in the community of the church, that we come to a deeper understanding of God's love, a deeper appreciation of God's relationship with us. As we gather, we experience God's love in tangible ways. We find support and belonging, acceptance, encouragement, and strength from others. We see love in other people's lives when it becomes cloudy in our own. Coming to church isn't about coming to a particular building at a particular time to fill some obligation. It's about assembling together into a shared expression and transformed experience of God's amazing love. If all we do is show up here once a week, walk in, sit down, sing a few songs, smile and nod, shake a few hands, try to stay awake through the sermon. And then we just go back home unchanged, like nothing really happened. Then we've completely missed the point. But if instead we gather here together with the expectation that we will receive God's love, and give that love to others and be transformed by it, well, then we are getting somewhere. If we come with openness and grace to let down our guard before God, before one another, if we're willing to humbly acknowledge our need for help, for forgiveness, for strength, for a deeper kind of life, then we're getting to a place that will make a difference in our lives. If we're willing to recognize our own needs, our own weaknesses, then we can receive the support and encouragement that we need, and we can offer acceptance and help to others that they need. In all of these things, we are experiencing the transformative power of God's love in our individual lives and as a church body. In all these things, we're tapping into the very nature of God himself. 1 John 4 tells us that God is love. Dear friends, he writes, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God doesn't just have love for us. God doesn't just show love to us. God is love. Love is the very nature of God. To be in relationship with God through Jesus Christ is to be in love. All of history, from the moment of creation to the fulfillment of Revelation, all of it is born from, is being shaped by God's love. It was God's love that drove the creation of the world. It is by God's love that humanity came into being. Love has fueled God's care for his people through the crunch and grind of a world ensnared by sin and enslaved to death. Love has established the way of salvation and redemption in Jesus Christ, who chose to become one of us, to suffer as one of us, to die as one of us, so that all of us could be restored to life in God's love. Love is not a side note. It's not something that gets tagged on as a nice addition. Love is God's very nature and his plan for the world and his way for all of us who would follow him. Love is the lifestyle that should define us. Just like Jesus said, by this everyone will know that you are disciples if you love one another. By the love with which you show one another, everyone will know you are his disciples. That is how the church should be known, by love. And it seems obvious, but it has to be said, we can't do that alone. People will say, well, I can be a Christian without going to church. Well, if by going to church you mean coming into the building, sitting for an hour, then going back home, yeah, you're right, you can be a Christian without doing that. But that's not what God asks of you. What God asks of us is to be known by our love for one another. That means that we have to be together. We have to come together. We have to gather so that we can do those things that express love, so that we can grow in our appreciation and understanding of others and of God. We do this by connecting in groups, getting plugged into a Sunday school class or a fellowship group, being involved with the men of faith or United Methodist women, inviting others in for a place of connection and community, those places where we experience and we share love with one another. We do it through ministries of comfort, our hospital visiting team, our nursing home visitations, our funeral meals team, our casserole caravan, our Stephen ministers who provide one-on-one spiritual care to people going through times of crisis. The comfort we provide to one another during those rough and tumble times of life, tangible expressions of love. We do it through collaboration, working together for a purpose. The men's garden, the prayer shawl ministry, all of our various committees, we grow in love as we work together to help build God's kingdom, to do God's work. Whatever way you choose to plug in, it is divine love that guides you and divine love that unifies us in our efforts. It is Christ living in us that allows us to love, to grow in us, to flourish and flow through us. It has always been God's plan for his people to be bound together in love. In another of Paul's letters to the early church, he wrote this, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Let us be filled by that love. Let that love empower us and inspire us so that we as a church can always be known for our love.